This episode of Nobody's Listening is brought to you by Bluehost Hosting. Unlimited space, unlimited hosting, unlimited bandwidth. Check it out today at nlcast.com/Bluehost. Today's episode is also dedicated to Anna Silva and Ken Russell. Thanks for your support.
I got a bad feeling about this.
No!
Listening to Nobody's Listening, where we tell funny life stories and invite you to do the same.
Hey, how you doing out there, podcast people? This is Nobody's Listening Podcast, a show where we tell funny life stories, yours and ours. It's episode 195, brought to you the week of May 22nd, 2012. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison. With me, as always, is John Steinklauber. How you doing, John?
Hey, James.
Welcome back, bro.
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
No problem, man. And in the third chair today is none other than K. Michael Prince. How you doing, K. Mike?
I am good. Thank you.
K. Michael Prince.
Dude. I want you to remember that name, people. It just rolls off the tongue. K. Mike. K. Michael Prince.
Beautiful, apparently.
It's famous.
We could be a band trio.
Could we?
We totally could, yeah.
Is that redundant?
You guys Maybe. Could be a band trio, but I'm gonna sit to the side.
Let's sit this one out.
I'm gonna stay out of it. I don't believe in trios.
You're the writer man and the lead guitar player.
There's just something effeminate about the word trio. Okay, I just want to lay it out right there.
Oh,
I'll be a band. I'll be a punk band. There's three people. You know, I ain't gonna be no trio. Sorry.
We could be like Blink 184.
And I'm not gonna play tenor. I'm not gonna sing tenor in the trio because that's just double effeminacies. So, hey, we always start with an opening song, and this one's suggested by John Steinklauber himself. It's from Rhett and Link. It's called "In the '80s." It's awesome. Check it out. And you can buy it on iTunes and at rhettandlink.com/music. So, make sure you do that. I love how they run internet. You got to see the video, guys. We'll have a link in the show notes.
It makes me feel like I'm a kid again.
I love how Link, Rhett throws the crap on the side of the road, and Link goes and picks it up.
That's right.
Dude, I had a whole book of scratch and sniff, Snickers. Everything did, man. Yeah, except for the whole Cold War thing. Thinking we were going to blow up any minute. It was pretty awesome.
Kept us honest, though, didn't it? A 16-button controller really makes me sick. Give me one red button and a joystick. Yeah.
That's right.
Atari, baby.
That was. Yeah, I wanted a Pac-Man watch. That's what I wanted.
I had a Swatch.
Yeah. Well, you know.
All right.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, great. It's awesome in real life, a little annoying on the show. We must talk about this. It's not typical of the show, but we must talk about those of us that lived through the 80s anyway.
I was born in the 80s.
I love the I don't, it's not a parody of the 80s. I love the caricature of the 80s, because, you know, obviously Rhett and Link are probably about your age, Mike, I would guess. They didn't, you know.
Seemed about, yeah.
They were 90s kids, you know, late 80s, maybe, you know, mid, early 90s. But yeah. So they're going off reference materials and all that, and they're wearing the big wigs and all that. It's just crazy because having lived through it and been there, and granted, I've got people that tell me, no, you're late 80s, you're early 90s too, because they're, you know, 10 years older than me, and they were high schoolers in 83. Yeah. But, dude, in 85, I was 8 years old. I was right smack in the middle of it, living the life, had all the stuff, you know, not all the stuff, but anyway, you know, there's all this stuff about Ataris. And you know, the snake puzzle and Rubik's cubes and disc cameras.
Parachute pants.
Yeah, and Aquanet. And
neon colors.
And tube socks and Velcro shoes coming out for the first time. You know, all that
Olivia
stuff.
Olivia Newton-John.
Ronald Reagan. Back to the Future.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that was for Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, my bad.
Hey, sorry. I like Reagan. That.
Olivia Newton-John did not deserve a.
Anyway, what?
No, I'm sorry.
Xanadu?
Dude, oh, Xanadu.
Oh, man.
Xanadu.
But all that stuff did happen and it was there, but, you know, mostly I just remember playing in the dirt.
Yeah.
You know, in the backyard, digging holes and rolling logs around and playing hide and seek because, you know, there weren't computers. And TV, I was telling my daughter, TV was only good on Saturdays for half the morning.
Saturday morning.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember that, too. That was the same in the 90s.
And in late in the afternoon, like early afternoon, like after school, because Sesame Street and Mister Rogers came on, I like that.
Yeah. That was all right.
Day in the night.
And then the early morning Romper Room was on, so that was fun, you know. But, yeah.
Oh, and you knew you stayed up too late when the Star Spangled Banner came on. Yeah. And you heard.
Yeah, TV actually shut off. That was weird. Now they have infomercials all night. But anyway, welcome to the show. Little story. That counted as a story. It's a story of the past, but we're going to jump into our weekly updates.
Weekly.
You shut your mouth.
Oh, okay, we can do that. Update.
Okay, this is a time of the show where we review things from the last week or so. I'm going to get started with a little story I like to call Matt. So that's the story's title. All right.
Matt?
Yeah. This is Matt, and it's spelled with one T. So maybe you didn't get the irony. But I have a friend named Matt. And he spells his name with only one T. And he's really anal about that thing, too, man. He gets mad if people spell his name with two T's. It's like, it's Matt. So I don't know. His parents named him to make him special and weird, and they definitely succeeded. But Matt thought it was funny the other day because we went to see my daughter's end of the year performance thing, and his daughter was there, and so we're sitting pretty close. And afterwards, we go to Yogurt Land or something to get some frozen yogurt, and they come with us and all this. And he comes up to the table and he flops down something on the table. He's like, hey, you got your wallet? And I look down and dude, obviously had dropped my wallet at the event. He had been kind enough to pick it up and bring it to me, but man, he just rode me about that. And anyway, about halfway in, you know, he had his wallet sitting on the table, and dude, it's me, his wife, him, Jen, we're all talking, chatting, that wallet's right out and loud, right there on the top of the table. I just don't even try to be nonchalant. I just take it and I stick it in the crook of my knee, you know, the knee pit, and hold on to it. And then eventually I'm able to palm it and stick it in my wallet or in my pocket. And he cleans up, it's time to go. We're walking out, you know, already paid and everything. And he looks at me with this butt-looking grin on his face and says, hey, James, you got your wallet? And I'm like, yeah, you got yours? And this look of sheer terror comes on his face. I mean, you could you could hear it. I heard that play in the heavens. And he goes, oh, crap. And I'm like, yep. And I pull out that wallet, lay it down. And I'm just like, you know, I don't believe in karma. But I became a believer for about 15 seconds right there.
Nice. You were driving the karma bus.
It was fantastical. So, all right, who's next? John?
K. Michael Prince.
John?
K. Michael Prince. John?
Okay. Okay, if you want me to go next, I'll go next. Well, this happened just the other day, in fact. That's the...
John?
You know.
Sorry.
What?
Oh, you started.
Oh, dude,
sorry.
You punk. You totally... did that on me and stuff, and that made me feel awkward.
John,
so stop it.
Like I'm having flashbacks to Trevor Cameron right now. So remember how that homeboy couldn't get a story started to save his life? It's awesome.
Oh man. Okay.
All right.
That was an homage to Trevor.
That's right.
So I'm driving home, right? And I'm like getting a call, and I look at it, and it's private number. You know, and that's never good.
Mm-mm.
It's never good when it's a private number coming through. So I think, okay, well, I'll take the call. And so I did. And this lady on the other end of the line, she's got really bad English. I couldn't tell if it was.
So she was,
you know,
cussing
at you
and
stuff? Coming from. No. She says, you know, first of all, it took them a while to come on. So I was expecting like a recording. So I said, you know, hello. And then she's like, hello, are you there? Okay. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here. What do you want? And she says, well, you have been selected for this and something, and you got the grant and from the government, and you are so – you should be grateful. And I'm like –
it's
I'm like,
funny
because
John's racist.
What? No, I'm not a racist. That's what she sounded like. Totally saying that. I mean, it's exactly like
so
that.
It was a lady doing an accent.
No, that's
saying.
What her accent sounded like.
So she was an American lady faking an accent.
Well, no. Okay.
Maybe. You don't know.
Maybe she
you
would.
Don't know. You don't know, do you, John? You're lucky that I call you because I have money for you.
She didn't sound like she was Norwegian.
Yeah.
She sounded like maybe, I don't know. But so she keeps going on, and I'm like, I don't understand what you're talking about. And she said, okay, let me read this again, okay? And I'm like,
read it again.
Okay.
She's got the script.
Yeah, she does. She's got the script. And she's
flipping to the For Dummies page. I got money for you.
I got news for you.
Money for you.
And it's so good news. You are going to love this. And it's such good news because we have for you a grant from the government. I said, where are you calling from? She said, Washington, D.C.
Yeah, whatever.
And I said, really?
Liar.
And I could hear like a man's voice kind of in the background. But, you know,
it's
I was
the
in
president talking. That's
it
what
probably
it was.
Yeah. It was Obama money she wanted to give me. It was a grant. And she said, this grant is only for people who have good credit and they do not
because that's how they figure out grants,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like I'm waiting for like you know, the I'm waiting for the, you know, the kicker here.
Yeah, we just need your credit card number.
And I said, yeah. Well, that's exactly what she said. She knows, she butters me up saying, oh, you got good credit. You know, you can spend it on anything. You can spend it on bills, this or that. You can't buy alcohol or cigarettes with it.
Damn.
Or go gambling.
Hang up.
She said,
click.
No, I wanted to do that, but I thought, well, maybe there's something legitimate here, you know, free money. She said, so all you need to give me is bank account information or
wow.
credit card.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh no. See, I'd rather get a check. And she said, well, you don't want it directly into your bank? And I said, no, I you know, when I get money from the government, it usually comes in check form. And I talked back and forth with her about, you know, insisting that it be a check. I said, you can make it out to my name. I didn't say my name, but I said, you can make it out to my name or you can make it out to cash and just send it to my home address. And then the line went really silent and she didn't answer. And I think she hung up on me.
Aww.
Which is really sad because it was like a $7,000 free grant that I got.
Man.
I was totally ready for that.
That was a gift from God, and you spoiled it, John.
You did.
You should
have account number.
That's,
I know.
That it happened to be the accent of an angel.
That's what that angel sounds like?
Yes.
Heaven.
Oh, no, not a scam.
When you read the Christmas story and the angels come down and say, glory in the highest, good news to men. Wow, I just totally offended every Mexican in the planet.
And every Christian.
And well, I don't
care
about
angels. You just offended.
I offended angels. That's the only one I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
They're going to come down and say, "We got news for you, James Kennison."
Well, the thing is, if you tick off an angel and they come, they'll come to your house while you're sleeping or watching sheep or something. And when you're freaked out by an angel, you don't just get afraid. You don't just get so afraid. You get sore afraid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what that means. That's so afraid that you're hurting.
It hurts.
Something hurts.
So watch out. Don't tick off an angel.
Say when they see an angel, do not be afraid.
But there's no such thing as blaspheming an angel, so I think I'm okay.
You're
okay. Ooh. What's the angels done for me lately? Ooh. Ooh.
Oh. God is angels watching over you. Every step you take.
They watch me pee. That's about
that. Oh, that's... Oh.
Oh. Look, if there are guardian angels and I have one, then he's cool with me by now. Either that or he's watching the clock. Like, I get off in 40 years. I'm almost out of here.
I've only got 40 more years of this.
That's right, dadgummit. Almost halfway there. All right, Mike, what you got, bro?
Well,
news for you.
This is a month update, but a few weeks ago we lost the key, the only surviving key to our van. Linda lost it. Didn't know where it was. We tore the house apart. We called and found out that it'd be $180 plus towing to get it replaced because it's the kind of key that you need a computer chip for.
Because
the van has a computer and you've got whatever.
So it's taking the mark basically already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's
key's got the mark.
He's a 666 key, and so we're trying to find it. We ended up cleaning out the garage. We cleaned up. We rearranged the kids' bedrooms, and we did all this stuff trying to find this stinking key.
Gave the kids an enema.
Yeah, exactly. We went to the trash, you know, because that had happened before. Kids threw stuff, threw a key in the trash can. So long story short, we find out from a family friend that our van does not. It was built the year before the computers went in.
All right.
So Melinda's like, nice. We don't have to take the van there to program the key. We can go and just pay whatever it costs and get the key, and it'll be fine. But we didn't have, you know, $200-$250 to get it done before. But now we can do whatever this is going to be. So she shows up. It's a $10 key. She finds out. $10.06.
It works.
And so we were excited. We were happy. It was 3.5 weeks of this just trying to figure it out. Huh? $10?
I think John's Skyping out. That was a heck of a delayed reaction there.
It was.
Go ahead.
Okay, it was $10. Yes. We're 3.5 weeks of this, trying to find a key, get everything around. I mean, it's just in our van, just parked in our garage, wasting 10? Space for that long.
Couldn't resist.
Wait, I can't. I only heard part of it because am I? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Then the angels came and they said,
"Did they look like bats by chance?"
Oh man.
Yes. Anyway, so the other night, a few days ago, I come in the living room to get my phone to take it in there to plug it in to the bedroom, and I can't find it. I don't know where it is, so I call it, and I hear it ringing inside our recliner, like in the, you know, crevasse of death there. And so I tip the recliner backwards because I know the way to get it out. I know how it falls. It's happened so many times. I know exactly what to do to get the phone to just fall out. So I tip the recliner back, and my phone falls out, and guess what falls out right on top of my phone?
$10.
An angel.
An angel.
Grand Theft Auto.
Super Mario Brothers.
Guesses, though. Try.
A bat.
But that key that we had lost a month ago.
Oh, I'd have never guessed that.
Yeah. So we went through all that waiting, did all this really arranging and cleanup that we needed to do anyway, probably. But it was the angels hiding the key so we'd organize our house.
Yeah, it was God's will, bottom line.
God's will, obviously. It must have been the will of the Lord.
God's sitting up there like, gotta get these people to clean. They are filthy. Holy crap.
Their kids are miserable in that pigsty.
I must answer their prayers.
So we found it. So we have like, Tim and Melinda had already gone and made copies. So we have like 8 keys to that van now. You each have one in the mail headed that way. Just to be sure we don't lose it again.
All right. We need to mail it back. Yeah, just imagine Satan going up to God, and God's like, what have you been up to? Ah, just here and there, back and forth, across the land. Yeah. Have you considered my servant, K. Michael Prince? Hey, would he be all that if he couldn't find his keys?
You hide his van keys, he will curse your name.
Let's see what happens. I'm standing behind my man. Okay, I'm going to hide his key. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And then what does Satan do? Satan goes down and says, I'll hide it right here in the most obvious place in the world that K. Michael Prince has already memorized how to specifically get it out of, just to make it that much better.
My wife and I had each looked through that stupid chair 3 or 4 times, you know, and never found it. So just finally that one time the phone knocked it loose or something.
I just would have paid money to be there in the middle of your garage rearranging, and you're laying there in a cloud of dust, and your wife says, just curse God and die, dude. Just
wait.
I'm scraping, scraping my foils.
Yeah,
pottery.
Didn't I hear you say, Mike, that Melinda lost the key?
She did. Yes.
So if it was in that chair, that's your chair, by chance?
Well, I'm not home all day.
Blame game.
Oh, okay. So
when Daddy's home, it's Daddy's chair. You know.
Wow.
So it's not like
do you make Melinda call you Daddy,
and it got lost. From your pocket falling out into the chair.
Yeah.
Her pocket falling out into the chair.
Do you make your wife call you Daddy? Because you just said,
no.
Daddy's chair.
He said,
because when Daddy's home, it's Daddy's chair. And I'm just thinking, wait a minute. That's kind of sexy.
She's not in the room. I talk that big. I talk big like that when she's not around.
Okay. All right.
You know, I tried to get her to call me Daddy once, and she looked at me with this look, and it wasn't like any, it was just like, I said, here, come over here and give Daddy a kiss.
Oh. She threw up on the floor, and then
she looked at me, and one eyebrow went up, the other stayed down, and she snarled and said, you are not my Daddy.
Oh.
So, just like that, too, she sounded like, you are not. Her voice, it was weird, but.
See, next time you do that, next time you do something like that, you need to make sure you're using GoToMeeting. How's that for a segue?
Oh, perfect. Man.
All right. Hey, you know, we develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can't see. And that can be tough to handle in business with employees and clients all around the world. That's why we recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces, a wonderful sponsor of this show, makes it possible for you to hear it. So listen to this, a simple online meeting service with group HD video. It helps you get better connected to the people you depend on for success. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it takes just a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate with your team or clients in real time from anywhere in the world, even on the go from an iPad. That's right, people. There's an app for that. Helps build trust, confidence, and makes meetings more effective because people could see you. I just had a meeting today face-to-face with a guy in Missouri for a couple of hours. It was awesome. When I hold online meetings, I use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's amazing being able to see clients and colleagues and even bald-headed people that you're talking to. I didn't even know the guy was bald. He shows me on HD Faces. His head is bald. It's crazy. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. Start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. That's right, chat room. Don't wait. Hang up on us. Go over there right now for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use that promo code PODCAST. And support the companies that support your favorite show. And also want to take a minute and mention the chat room, peoples. Got a few folks in there today. Joseph, J-Man, Dr. Quest. Congratulations, Dr. Quest, on your recent wedding. Darth is in there. Silly Moose, Thut, Norwegian Girl. Congratulations to you too, lady. And Mr. Jalapeno Pants, Bunny Slip, a whole bunch of other folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good name.
That's a new front runner for the best name in the chat room.
Join us every Monday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. and sponsor a show if you feel like it. NLCast or podcast.nlcast.com only for $5. Only for $5. Real quick, a couple of additional sponsors that I want to mention. Great folks that have decided they've got stuff that they want to promote. And they're listeners of the show, and they say, hey, can you share this with the people? And so I am. This is a fella that runs a website called linuxacademy.com. Shouldn't you know more about an operating system considered to be the backbone of the internet? All yeah. great developers know how to use and program for Linux. That's why you need to go over there and check out. They've got 29 available lessons. It's all archived. It's all video-based. And more are added weekly over at linuxacademy.com. The reviews, I read them on the website. People are saying, I don't know much about Linux. I don't have time for it. But I'm sure some of you guys are out there saying, you know, it's got to be something. Somebody's got to teach me. I can't just sit down and do it. Well, this guy's the one to try it out, so or the one to teach you. So head over to linuxacademy.com. We're also supported this week by West Side of Mars podcast, a clean comedy show by Drew Covert and his dad. Check it out today at westsideofmars.com. Thank you so much for your support, and thanks for listening. Appreciate it. And check out the InnoCast iPhone and Android apps, weekly bonus content, and more at their respective marketplaces. Time for this
featured story.
Time for that featured story. K Mike, you got it for us this week, so take it away.
Ten? No. Okay.
Wait, now awesome. I don't understand why you guys keep saying 10.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Because you were Skyping out.
You were Skyping out. And so you said 10 out at one point, and that's all I heard was you saying 10. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to listen to the show.
Yay. I have a series of short stories that are all about really why I'm not a pet person. I'm extremely anti-pet, really, I guess.
Amen.
Sorry.
Amen.
Sorry, everybody. But that's just how I roll.
Sorry, every pet.
Thankfully, I married a woman who's the same way. But
I'm mostly anti-Playboy pets, but go ahead.
Oh, well, that's fine.
What does that mean? I don't understand.
Of course you don't. Someday, when you're older. I got a puppy when I was a kid. My brother and I got a puppy. My dad used to bring home, every now and then he'd bring home a dog, and we'd think it was great. And it was a mocha brown color, and he was a little poodle. We had poodles a lot. I don't know why. Some of my family were poodles. I don't know.
Poodles. That's why you don't like pets.
We named him Cappuccino, just because that was his color. Kind of looked like after you stir up the wait, whatever. I don't know.
Cappuccino.
Yeah. Cappuccino. Cute little puppy. Cute little dog. But we went through a lot with this dog. I really was attached to him for some reason. One of my only pets in my life that I was super attached to, and went to. When I'd go places where he wasn't there, I would miss him.
You missed him?
I missed my dog.
With a spray bottle?
No, I
you kind of Skyped out there for real. You miss him.
I missed him. Okay. I didn't know. I wanted to be with him instead of wherever I was. I'd go spend the night at a friend's house and be like,
How old were you again?
Oh, I was a child.
Okay.
I don't
know
for sure.
I was trying
7, 8, 9, something. Okay. It wasn't last Thursday, but so this one time I go on a Royal Ranger survival camp out.
Wow. Okay? Wow.
Survival camp out with Royal Rangers?
Yeah. I was, you know, I was probably 9, I think, maybe 10, probably 9. And I'm out at this survival camp out. We built our own shelter. We're up in the mountains of New Mexico, the Guadalupe Mountains. And probably where that phone call was coming from.
No, it came from Washington, D.C.
It came from Guadalupe Mountains in a cave. And so we were up in the mountains, and we had killed a rattlesnake and ate the thing.
As a 9-year-old?
Well, we had help from Commander Paul, but we got it done. And
$10?
Stop it. Stop.
And so we'd killed a rattlesnake and ate it. We'd killed some moths and mixed them with berries and ate those.
Moths.
It was just like find your own food and eat them.
Like,
you know,
dusty butterflies. Those guys, moths?
Bugs, yes.
Oh, gosh.
Bugs. We had eaten that, And we thought we were manly, dude. We were awesome. We were just, and you know, as a 9-year-old, 10-year-old boy, you just was awesome. We're sleeping under a lean-to that we had built out of tree branches. We're
pooping in our hands.
So, yeah. Using it as war paint for the next day.
You don't even want to know how we made our pea soup.
There were no vegetables anywhere. But we were just feeling as manly as we could feel. Everybody was awesome. We all had our special knives we'd won from getting our cut and chop cards and stuff. And anyway, it gets late at night one night. We're sitting around the campfire. We're talking and joking and having fun. And all of a sudden, I start this little cry sound, and everybody's looking at me like, yeah, me. What's Michael's problem? I'm just like, oh. And my best friend Jared was there. He was my best bud, and he was cool. My brother was there with us. And, you know, Jared was like, hey, dude, settle down. It's cool. He was being cool. He was trying to keep me from looking like a complete fool in front of all these other guys. And he's like, dude, it's cool, man. What's up? What's going on? And I was like, oh, I miss cappuccino. So I started crying because I was homesick. And really, I think I just, you know, but I, for some reason, I just zeroed it in on this dog. And so I was like, I'm just, and so to this day, my friend Jared, we've been friends ever since then. To this day, sometimes I'll get a hey tell message or a message from him that's, I miss cappuccino. And then this dog gets hit by a, oh no. Then another time, I'm sitting at home and I just start crying. And my mom is like, I'm just at home. My mom's like, Michael, what's wrong, man? What's going on? And
your mom talks funny.
She does. And I said, Mom, if this is the rapture, is cappuccino going to be left all alone? I had these images of my little poodle dog in the street going, my family was taken when the Lord came to get them. And I haven't a mountain lion's going to get me. And so,
yeah, Christians are irresponsible for owning pets. So I'll just say it.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
If part of your faith is that you could be taken into heaven at any moment, you shouldn't drive. You shouldn't operate any fairground equipment or pilot a plane or own a pet.
Did you learn anything watching A Thief in the Night?
Yes. Yeah. I learned to take the mark because, man, did you know what happened to those guys that didn't?
Brutal. But there is a website, though, that there's a pet care, post-rapture pet care.
I know.
They'll take their pet after the rapture. They're like, we'll still be here because we don't believe in that crap. So we'll handle your dog for you, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was one thing. I was just weeping and freaking out.
Gnashing
then this
teeth.
Dog ends up getting hit by a car.
It survived.
But we took it to the vet and paid $700-something for the stupid thing to have surgery.
$10?
$10?
What it was. That's exactly what it sounded like. $10?
$10?
They put a metal rod through where his femur would have been because they had to take the whole bone out, I guess.
Oh,
so it's upper bone in his leg. They took and they put a metal rod there. But we didn't have a lot of money. I don't know where the money came from to fix the dog in the first place. But what happened was something went wrong and that metal rod stuck out of his hip.
Oh, God.
This is true, man. This is true. I was a child. I was probably 11 by then. And so this dog
10?
now lives with
11.
A metal rod sticking out of its right hip.
It's still alive?
Healed around it. Yeah.
No.
And it's part of him now. Okay?
No.
True story. No, I'm
You're telling a joke.
I can't lie about this stuff, man.
It's not funny.
This is... I think it's hilarious.
The dog has a metal rod sticking out of his hip and he's alive?
He didn't know. He limped around like a happy little puppy. He was fine.
You say was. Is he alive or not?
Gino?
Well, here, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story.
He's dead.
And now?
I was 11. I'm 29 now. In a week or two, I'll be 29.
I don't know how many more rods have been added to his body.
He's bionic. Yeah. We have the technology. So I ended up being... What?
Cappuccinionic? I'm sorry. I was trying to make a play on words, but it didn't work. Go ahead.
I'm glad I stopped for that. And then one day we come home and my mom says, "You guys, I had to get. We're moving into Texas and into an apartment, and or it wasn't a Texas, but it was an apartment, and we can't take pets. So this happened to me a ton of times in my life. We moved around so much, and often it was to apartments that couldn't have pets. So I lost so many pets this way. Well, this one was sad. I was crying. It was a sad day. And she says, I took him to a family. They're going to take good care of him. He's out like on a farm where he's going to be able to just run around.
That's what they always say.
I know. I was like, he doesn't run around, Mom.
He's got a metal rod sticking out of his side.
Exactly. He's going to limp around and get eaten by a cow. And so I believe her because that's what you do as your mom. She's not going to lie to you. And so one day I'm at the grocery store, La Tienda. This was in Carlsbad, New Mexico, when I was a child. We're at this grocery store, and we're in the parking lot. This is like a movie in my head right now. It's terrible. And I look out the window as we're leaving the parking lot, and I see freaking Cappuccino. No. Metal rod sticking out of his hip and everything, running across the street.
He's coming for you.
I was like, Mom, they let Cappuccino get out. We have to go get him. We have to get him. My dad's like, drive the car, drive, you know, get out of here. And we couldn't take him anyway, but I guess. And so it ends up, she had dropped him off at this stinking grocery store. It was busy, hoping somebody would come and just be like, oh, let's take this poor puppy. But he's a dog with a metal rod sticking out of his leg. Nobody's going to. Want
she
him?
Dropped him
Somebody
off.
Paid good money for that metal rod, and
yeah, it was copper. It's worth thousands. No, she dropped him off at this grocery store, and she's like, "I can't drop him off in the wilderness. He'll die. Maybe at least here somebody will." But she couldn't find anybody that wanted him, so she's like, "Somebody feel sorry for him and pick him up." There's people that pick up every dog they see, you know. But no, he was still roaming the streets. I see he's dirty and filthy. I still see him in my brain, and when I think about it,
that's the worst. That's the worst story ever.
That's so sad. That dog was so happy to see you. He thought, they came back for me. They came back for me. And then car just drives away real fast.
This is all true. I'm not about to say like, and then I turned into a bat and flew away. It's all true story.
Hey, wait a second. That really happened too.
Hey, John, I need you to change this story for me. Can you add on to it so it can have a happy ending, please?
Yes.
All right.
I will gladly do it.
I'm honored.
So Michael doesn't remember this part, but his mom called me up just a minute ago.
His mom called me too.
About my mom, fool.
Yeah, his mom called me too, man. You need to tell her to quit calling us. It's awkward.
She did.
She's
She's in the chat room. She's listening to the show right now, and she says Michael doesn't remember because you passed out because you were so sad from the sadness. And what happened was they turned around and they picked Cappuccino up. They picked him up and they placed him in your lap while you were passed out crying. Uh-huh. And the dog looked at you and he said, "This is not my master anymore." Uh-huh. And he actually took a dump on you. And then she said, "That's it. You're never coming back in this family again, you crazy dog with a metal rod sticking out of your hip." And the dog turned into this beast, like this wild cat beast, and his face just peeled back, and he was Satan.
Oh, geez.
Oh, man.
And Satan jumped out of the car.
And the rod turned out to be his trident, his pitchfork of evil.
It was. He grabbed it up, and he said, "This rod means nothing to me. You paid a lot of money." And so, then came Michael, and this is why you don't remember this, Mike, is because you woke up all of a sudden and you were like freaking out.
Yeah.
And you kicked the dog, you kicked Satan out of the door.
Yep.
And right, I did.
Because you did. He kicked him out and you shut the door to keep out the devil.
Keep out the devil.
That's right. Yeah. And then you lit a candle and everything was all right.
It was all right.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Oh, man.
So there you go.
That is better.
Is that a better ending?
I didn't even know that happened.
Didn't know. See, he was all along. He was trying to steal your soul.
See,
and when you saw him running across that parking lot, he was coming for your soul.
Well, that explains. Well, it explains why he was so sad in survival camp.
Yeah,
he was pining for the devil.
Yeah,
and his soul needed to be transformed, and so. Thanks, Mom. Thanks for dropping off the devil dog at the store. It makes it all much better.
Moral of the story, pets steal your soul.
Yeah.
They do.
Because
they don't have one.
Submoral of the story is King Michael Prince hates pets because they make him cry so much because he's a freaking wuss.
I am a freaking wuss. That's true. True story. Yeah. I haven't even seen The Notebook. I don't want to go through that.
And, another submoral of the story is $10. So
$10?
Ten?
Yeah. Ten?
Great.
You don't even know what my weekly update was, do you, John?
You lost a key and then you thought it was gonna be $200 and I wasn't sure, but I think you said $10. And it was only $10 and it was like great news.
Ten?
Because that $10 went the other $190 that you would have spent on the key. Went to pay for another dog with a metal rod in its leg.
I'm finishing paying off that $700 and something for the medical bills.
All right, let's do this.
ENV mail.
Thank you for calling.
This is from Andrew. Hey, James and John. See, eventually Andrew. They'll start adding Mike in there, K-Mike, but he's new still. So, hey, James and John. So, K-Mike, don't listen. I learned about you guys from my brother. I can't stop listening now. Sorry about that.
Uh-oh.
6 years of podcast, man. You better, pace yourself. This is my first time writing in. I was bored one night about 10 o'clock. Okay. Okay. For some reason, I'm all of a sudden, I'm getting emotional.
It's okay, James. It's all right. The dog was really the devil. It was all okay.
You missed cappuccino.
This is so much better. I miss the devil.
I really want a cup of coffee right now.
I miss having my cappuccino. I just wanted to see if I could pull the rod out and put it back in the hole. All right. Anyway, what I want to do with this email is I want to pick it to death. So you guys help me out with any inaccuracies that you possibly see, because I think I'm calling bullcrap on this story right off the top of the bat. Okay?
All
right. Here we go. I was bored one night, and at about 10 o'clock...
Bullcrap.
You have to back it up, so don't say it. At 10 o'clock, I put some bread in the toaster, and since I was bored, I put the timer dial all the way up. I became tired and went to sleep. Bullcrap.
I became tired and I went to sleep.
I can't make it a whole minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm falling asleep. I leave toast, and I go to sleep. Makes no sense, but anyway.
I took a Valium exactly 13 and a half minutes ago, and it's kicking in.
So let's add some more to the timeline. About 11 o'clock, so an hour after he put the toast in. First of all, bullcrap on the fact that you put toast in the toaster at 10 o'clock.
I'll tell you, it was 10 o'clock, man.
It was exactly 10, and it took an hour to toast it exactly the way I like it. So about 11 o'clock, my parents woke me up, and they asked me if I had made toast. And I'm like, no, I made charcoal. Then I had gotten up and said, sorry, I'll go get it. An hour later, I had walked out my room. I could smell burnt toast. And as I looked up, I could see smoke covering the entire ceiling of our kitchen. I don't know. I've burned toast before. I've never burnt, smoke covering the entire, I don't know. Maybe it did. Maybe it did.
He caught that toast on fire.
It looked as if a blanket had flown up towards the ceiling.
It was an angel.
Bullcrap. After that,
it was a toast angel. The toast had expired, and the angel was leaving.
I
don't get it.
All right. After that experience, we had to get a new toaster because the toast got stuck in it, and the bottom of the toaster was burnt. But thankfully, the toaster we had was old, and I didn't like it.
Well, that's a good reason to get rid of it.
Who doesn't like their toaster?
Well, what middle school kid? This guy's obviously a middle school guy. Thanks for the laugh, sincerely, Andrew. Andrew, and sincerely, we appreciate the email, but this is part of the fun we have with your stuff. You have a strong opinion about your toaster at 12?
Yeah. Oh, You walk the, I hate that thing. I
hate this thing.
I can't even go in the kitchen right now. I'm so angry with this toaster.
I'm going to bed. I'm going to burn some toast to go to bed.
But I want some toast. I'm going to put it in the toaster that I hate. But secretly, I'm going to turn the dial up so far it burns in the toaster.
Did I ever tell you about my toaster? Maybe I've talked about my toaster on the show before, but my toaster is very special. I need to post a picture of it on the website because it seriously is. It has plastic sides. Okay,
I kid you not. Like Buzz Lightyear?
No, it's green, but it's like a turquoise type green, and it's metal. You know, it has metal around the top, but the sides are plastic, which makes no sense to me at all. I got it from a young lady that was in my children's church in Kansas City. She got it for me. It was just this really, you know, poor down and out family, great, great family, but just really poor. And so it really blessed me. It really took me back or took me by surprise when they gave me this toaster for Christmas. So I'm thinking, where did they get the money for this thing? And surely it's a piece of crap, you know, no offense, but surely it's a piece of crap. We get it home, dude. We still have this toaster. Literally, it's been 10 years. I mean, it's awesome. And it, you know how toasters, I hate most of them truly because you toast the bread, and then you have to wait for it to cool down before you can toast another slice. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
This one does not do that. It's timer-based, and so it pops, and then you can put another set right in. It also has little squeezers that – and this was back – you know, now it's probably very common. But 10 years ago, man, it wasn't common for it to hug your toaster pastry so it stays upright, you know, and then still have room for a bagel. Half, you know, in there. So anyway, nice. It's pretty awesome. All that to say, years later, I started asking about it. She's like, you still got the toaster? And her little brother starts laughing. He's like, you know, 13 now. And she's like, you know, 16, 17. And they start laughing. And I'm like, what? I knew there's a story here. She starts telling me, a little man starts spilling the beans. And basically, this girl had stolen money from her grandma. Her poor down and out grandma who was halfway supporting the family and gone out and bought all these gifts for her teachers and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And,
oh, man.
And the family was too ashamed to come back and ask for the toaster back, you know, so it just kind of was one of those things that just got let go. But she's to this day very shame filled about this toaster purchase. And man, I love it. I'm so glad she stole from her grandma because it's the best toaster ever. It's still going strong. It may be cursed by the devil himself, but I love that toaster.
Wow. That's how it gets toast.
That's right.
It burns it with the hellfire of sin.
Condemnation. Yeah.
Black market toaster.
Oh. It is really nice. It is really grungy now. I mean, there's, you know how the bread bag will transfer its you know, its mark on the side of the toaster. If it, you know, so it's got tons of that. It's probably got three years or 10 years worth of crumbs in the bottom because I ain't never cleaned that thing. Yeah,
I'm playing the lottery tonight because this 10 number is coming up a lot.
10 o'clock. Yeah. All that.
Oh.
Yeah. It's
10. We had a set of pots and pans given to us at a wedding shower that was stolen from JCPenney.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Whole big, like, $300 pots and pans set. This lady's in prison now. True.
She gave and went to, for that?
She went. No, she. That's just a string of things she had done.
It's don't ever go to his wedding.
Yeah, don't bring me some. I reported her. No, just kidding. We called the sheriff's department. We were like, hey, we found out that this stuff we have that we were given, you know, 3 years ago for our wedding is stolen. He's like, you didn't know it was stolen when she gave it to you. Don't worry about it.
Ah, yes.
Okay, so that reminds me of a wedding gift we got. My pastor at the time, my pastor leans over to us on our wedding day. I mean, at the reception afterwards, we're about to go on our honeymoon. He hands us this box. He's like, he whispers because, and he's a white Jamaican dude. So he had the accent. He sounded like Belky from, you know, Perfect Strangers. And he's like, you might want to take this with you and, you know, open it later, take it with you. And I'm like, what kind of kinky crap is he giving? This is my pastor, you know? So we do, man, we take it in the car and we're driving and we're on our way and we're all happy and stuff. And we're looking at this package, like what kind of, you know, twisted, sick bedtime stuff is in this thing, you know? And we open it up, and dude, it's a stinking portable picnic kit. It's like got plates and cups and bowls and a net, a tablecloth, and that's it. It's the whole thing.
Stinky.
Yeah.
Hey, man, in my country, this is really crazy stuff, man.
But, you know, he was just being nice. You know, you might want to take it with you in case you need a picnic, you know, or something on the way. So.
You see, your brain automatically went straight to the gutter.
Well, yeah, on my wedding night, it's allowed to, by God.
Yeah, finally.
The wait was over.
Take this with you, man.
Oh, anyway. Hey, members of NLCast crew. So today, on May 20th, there's going to be an eclipse, and my mother believes in this myth, which I find plain ridiculous. Anyway, the myth is that whenever there's an eclipse and you're pregnant, which she is, you must cover all the windows and hide to protect yourself. Hide your kids, hide your wife, to protect yourself from as much light as possible. He says, I expected her to just close the blinds on the windows, but with the help of my sister and cousin, they took this to the next level. I woke up to find the windows in the kitchen covered with blankets, the windows on the main door covered in gift wrap, and basically all of the lights turned off. So even apparently electrical light is affected by this myth. She refuses to even step outside and turns off every light whenever she passes. Yesterday, I actually made her mad because I kept making fun of this, saying that we should start a fire in the middle of the room and dance around it to please the gods of the heavens. He says, what is your opinion on all of this, Miguel? So let's go around the table there. Who wants to take a stab at it? What's your opinion about this myth that eclipse light can hurt you?
I'm just curious as what it would do.
Well, you sparkle in the sunlight.
Nice.
That's what happens. You got to stay away because then they'll know
that you're a vampire.
You got a little
They'll know who your husband was.
Yeah.
No.
The baby will sparkle.
John, what's your theory? What's your feedback?
You know what? I got to be honest. I just Googled eclipse and pregnancy just because I've never heard this myth before.
I'd never heard it either, yeah.
But in many cultures, an eclipse is considered a bad omen. There's some superstition that an eclipse can cause deformities such as a cleft lip, unsightly birthmarks, and scientific evidence does not support these theories. Of course not. Wow. That's weird.
I wonder if Miguel was born during an eclipse and she's just trying to keep her baby from looking like him.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Miguel. Well, that's I've never heard of that before. That I, you know, if it were me, I would have some fun with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have lit a fire. I'm going to try to get my wife to convince that the next time she's pregnant.
I'd be carrying around a pin light and just be shining it on her. I captured this from outside. It's solar powered flashlight.
Imagine what this laser pointer will do.
Wait, so I bet you Cappuccino was born during an eclipse.
Hey, let's not talk about him anymore.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't want to cry.
See, my input is I'm more worried about the effects of the book eclipse and
yeah, and you're not worried about that much.
Yeah, and I'm more worried about the effects of the chewing gum eclipse because you know, than I am the actual eclipse. So
total eclipse of the heart. Gotta be.
I need you now tonight. I need you more than ever. Hey, James, John, and Ethan. This is a story from when I was 12. 4 years later, I still have a vivid memory of this. So I was at my cousin's house. And they have a bridge in their backyard going over a pond. One winter's day, I thought I would ride my bike around the garden. I got it in my head that if I went over the bridge, I'd get some airtime. Unfortunately, it didn't happen according to plan. As I went over, I suddenly stopped. I didn't have time to put my feet on the ground. I fell headfirst in the pond.
Yay!
I jumped out as quickly as I could, and I ran inside screaming my head off. My mom just stared at me in amazement, so I had to get my twin sister to let me in. I was really ill, but I got to miss school. Thanks for reading this. I hope you didn't find any middle school errors. Yeah,
maybe you should read it like a middle schooler.
Yeah, I should actually point out all of the fact, like the fact that it's one sentence is one thing. There's no capitalizations, and he did say I got to miss school, M-I-S-S, which I know is correct, but it looks like there's a lady named School. Her last name is School, and I got to her. It really annoyed Miss School. Got to got to her. But anyway, good story, man. Good story. Okay, I got one more thing I need to do, and that is I need to read and listen to a voicemail that we got from our good friend Super Squeaky. Okay, so it's good one. We used to do this a long time ago. So here we go. I'm going to read the translation, the transliteration, straight off Google Voice, and then we'll listen to it, see how off it was. Hey, this is Super Ticker. So I did was at a school program called Move on the Ground. And so we're doing the weir, and we're building a bridge, and we're putting down the Sprinter's Witch Eye listings. Let's go onto the board on the bridge, but I guess the small wooden bridge honor trail. So we were building it. And then that my friend Andrea, who's deathly afraid of construction, she the U.S., the principal, yeah. 46, to go down and help us, but then she does not think that's why she's afraid of, except construction left the hay, dropped it on, and it dropped it like a 200-pound paint or some now, and made her it's that simple purple, so then she broke it. But mom, bye. Well, 1 second. All right, briskly, he'll will tell, let them trying to get all right. Chris Good, are you a blessed? Are you all right, sweetie? The mark of the same anymore. Bye.
The mark of the same. Moo on the ground.
Reminds me of Kyle on YouTube. You ever seen him?
Uh-uh.
He does awkward interviews where his interviews sound like that, and people like stand there like, what? Like his questions sound like that.
Just random. All right, let's see if we'll see what we had here.
This is Super Squeaky here. So I do this at school program called Wolves on the Prowl. And so we were building a bridge, and we were putting down the stringers, which are the things that go under the boards on a bridge.
Okay, but, stringers.
It's just a small wooden bridge on our trail. So we were building it, and then my friend Audrey, who's deathly afraid of construction, she...
she's a strange fear.
Yeah.
That's like hating a toaster.
that's middle schoolers for you, man.
Yeah.
I knew a middle schooler one time. He cried on a survival trip for his dog. So.
What's the dog's name?
How stupid is that? Dog's name was Latte, I think.
I miss a latte.
I miss him a latte.
Puppuccino. You should call him Puppuccino. Anyway, all right, here.
To go down and help us, but when she does, I think that's why she's afraid of construction. Bleh. She dropped it on.
Okay. I just love it. She's afraid of construction. Like, she lays in her bed, and she's like, there are men at work on the highway.
She's definitely right afraid of construction. Definitely.
Deathly.
She hears the beep, beep, beep of the truck. The
All right.
200-pound thing on her thumbnail and made her, and made it purple.
Oh.
So I think she broke it.
Mm.
But, bye. Well, 1 second. Are you Super Squeaky? Are you Super Squeaky?
Your voice
doesn't work the same anymore.
Yeah.
Bye.
I was about to say, it's called puberty, buddy, and it's going to ruin your voice.
He's growing up.
He's getting big.
Going the way of Justin Bieber.
Aww.
Next is going to be... Hey, this is a Super Squeaky guy.
This is the Squeaks.
I really regret the nickname.
I had the Squeaks last week, and I took some pills and got it all, all taken care of.
The Hershey Squeaks?
Ooh, that was not something I want to talk about. All right, it's time for your favorite part of the show. It's the part where we recap the show in song. John, I'll be relying on you for...
Okay.
And K Mike, for that matter, I used to rely on John back in the day, but
I just know it's got to have something about a dog with a rod and a toaster.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I hate my toaster. It makes my toast. And when it burns it, it's when I hate it the most. turned it on Saturday. I set it to dark. Mom woke me on Sunday. And she let a big fart.
I don't know what else. Thank you.
And she walked me in the kitchen that now has a big black ceiling. And she looked at me with anger in her eyes, and I recollect that feeling. But that toaster's in the trash now, and that's really okay. 'Cause I'm sixth grade in middle school, and I hated that toaster anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, my dad hits me with bats, and my dog has a pole sticking out its leg, and my mom drinks every day. And you know what? All that's okay. I just hate my toaster. I just hate my toaster. And my doctor thinks I should smoke cigarettes, and my teacher hasn't even shown up yet, and my sister went out and became a vet, but that's okay, I bet, as long as I don't have to deal with that stupid toaster. And there's kids all over the world that are dying of starvation, but that's okay, 'cause the toaster's gone. All right, what else? What are we gonna do?
Something about cappuccino.
Okay.
And all the right. Number 10.
Yes.
All right. You know you're a man when you're in Wall Rangers. Everybody there is a favorite stranger, and you get to go out on a survival camping trip. And even when you're 9, you can prove you're a man by crushing a wasp and eating it with your bare hands and doing all those things that men do. But when you're sleeping under the stars and you have a very special dog, but you know it's too much to take, and that crap really gets to you, cappuccino, Cappuccino, where are you at? I'm glad you didn't come, 'cause we'd have probably eaten you like that. We'd have roasted you on that spit that stuck right through your thigh. You'd poke it through until it came out your eye. And even though you would have made a very good cappuccino stew, cappuccino, as I lay here, all I can miss is you. $10. $10. I'm so poor, I can't even pay $10. Wait a minute, that's wrong. What is it? I cleaned out my garage this weekend, not for the normal reasons. I was looking for a key I lost. $10. I was walking down the street, talking to the people that I meet. $10.
Hey.
And when I get older, I'm sure I'll ride away. $10.
$10.
And Disney World will still be there. $10. And I'll ride on a ride. $10.
Hey.
All right. What's the last thing here? If your mom is having a child.
Oh, yes.
If she's great with pregnancy and the moon decides to get in front of the sun, and you're in the 365 square miles of place that can actually see it, then you need to protect her.
Yeah.
Cover the windows at your house
light a fire in your living room.
I can't think of anything funny about that. It's just funny in and of itself.
Because if the light shines on my baby,
unborn,
its face will go crazy. I believe that it's true, because Miguel, my first son, it happened to you.
Have one thing left to say. I'll believe this till my dying day. Everybody, I just want you to know this is true. Cappuccino. My mom left you at the corner store. Cappuccino.
Oh.
I really don't believe that you're the devil anymore. Cappuccino. Even though it would have been really easy to electrocute you, Cappuccino. Cappuccino.
Never thought of that. Lightning
I
rod.
I love you.
Maybe he had superpowers.
He probably did. He was probably
you have been totally immortalized, Cappuccino.
I totally wasted a super dog.
He was Iron Man's dog.
What it was. He's calling Jarvis as he was running towards you.
Oh man, that means it's time to go. When that music plays, no matter what's going on, you have to stop. And I have to say some stuff. Thank you for everybody who's listening right now. I appreciate you. Check out the website, podcast.nlcast.com. Email us, james@nlcast.com, or call us 2095-NLCast. That's the phone number where we read your stuff and listen to it and stuff. Facebook and Twitter. Check them out. Facebook/NLCast and Twitter/NLCast. Follow my co-host as well. Join us for a live show Tuesday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or in case of eclipse, we'll hold it at 6:30 p.m. Pacific instead. Leave an iTunes review if you haven't done that yet. You know, more stars, the better. Stars are good. Eclipses are bad. Check out all the NLCast Podcast Network shows at NLCast.com. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Rob Govers for our theme music, spouses for letting us record, and our contributors and everyone who listens. And remember, when you tell a funny life story, tell it like nobody's listening. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
See ya. Ten?
Ten?
Hey. Man.
Good night, Jerome. We love you. Good night, John.
Good night, James.
Good night, K. Michael Prince.
Good night.
Good night, Cappuccino.
Good night.
Should have never shared that story. It's going to be like John's clown letdown story right there.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.